Would anyone who... I feel I'm looking out here and speaking to the choir. All the women who are here, I think, are here. Would anyone like to grab a favourite man to get them in here? Because that's part of the what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Go and grab your favourite man now who isn't in here. Obviously, the men aren't very nice here, and there's none to go and grab. Fail.
I could take up my other role as a sex blogger and go and grab lots of men, but I don't think somehow that it's the right format today. But get me later in the bar. No, just kidding. Now we have a limp microphone. I wasn't, didn't say I was a good sex blogger.
That works. That's really, that's a very
difficult. Right, are we going to be okay with the
is this being streamed anywhere?
Laptop.
I have no idea.
All right, well, I don't think we should wait for those stragglers. I think we should begin. This is the Women in Tech session. We have lots of amazing speakers here on the panel to talk. And before I just want to say, it's always a privilege being a woman at any tech conference because I never have to queue to use the ladies' toilet.
Oh, that's sorry, my joke. That's
it's
my joke
all
too.
Of our jokes because it's a one unique thing. I've never ever had to line up. And I remember I was at a conference in San Francisco last year, and there was at least 36 men lining up to use the men's, and I just walked straight into the ladies and I took pictures of it. It was classic. Anyway, today we have with us the I have to get my lines right. Right, Sue Black to my right.
Me.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, I told you I'd get my left and my rights mixed up. sorry. This is, I'll let everyone introduce themselves but very quickly. We have Sue Black, we have Janet Parkinson, we have Sue Charman Anderson, and we have Catherine Corrick. I'm Zoe Margolis, I'm moderating this session, and I will hand straight over to Sue to begin.
Thank you very much.
Ooh.
It's wobbly. Right, my name is Sue Black. I'm head of department at the University of Westminster. And I campaign for women in tech and for to save Bletchley Park. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, this is my talk. All men are bastards. That's what people think when they traditionally... So I'm not really talking about the people here. I'm talking about guys that I've met over the last 20 years, and of course it's not everybody. But when I say that I've set up a network for women in technology, that's the kind of... I can just see in their eyes that's what they're thinking, and sometimes they say it as well, you know. So why do you think all men are bastards? And, you know, of course I don't. So I'm going to tell you a story about why I set up a network for women in IT. So about 15 years ago, I started my PhD. I started in the area of formal methods, which, if you don't know, is like mathematically specifying software systems. So it's a reasonably geeky area. And my PhD supervisor said to me, when you go to conferences, it's, you know, it's not about what you know in this game, it's who you know as well. So you have to network and you have to talk to people. And at that time, even though it seems unimaginable now, I was extremely shy and reticent and didn't really want to talk to anybody. And now it's the opposite. I'm an egomaniac, but more of that later. So I thought, okay, I went to my first conference. I thought, okay, I've got to find somebody and I've got to talk to, I've got to have one person that I've spoken to at this conference. So a guy gave a really good presentation. So I thought, okay, he's the one. He was, you know, he's really funny. So I thought, okay, he's got a good sense of humor. So after his talk in the break, I went up, sort of plucked up my courage, went over to him and said, oh, that your talk was really interesting because blah, blah, blah. So we chatted about it for about 10 minutes. And then for the rest of the conference, he stared at me. Every time I looked around, he was there, like looking and then looked away. And I just thought, oh shit, what have I done? Whereas now, I'm upset if men aren't staring at me. At that time, it totally freaked me out. I was really shy. I was new to the area. It was so scary. And so one of the reasons that I set up a network for women in tech is so that if anyone has an experience like that, or some a myriad of experiences that you can have of kind of feeling isolated and not knowing what to do in certain situations, you had other women to talk to about being in that situation. So I set up the first network in 98, and then the biggest one, as it's become, BCS Women in 2001, and which has now got about 1,000 members. And that's what it's done. It's done that for about 1,000 women. And so there, you know, people are asking questions on there. It's an online network, so you just sign up and that's it. You get all the questions that everybody's asking. And so there are questions on there about from people getting bullied, from people having sort of anxiety issues about things, very techie questions, sort of management IT questions, you name it, it's on there. And it's worked for the last 8 years in supporting and helping women who are feeling, you know, like I need someone to ask about this. So that's the BCS Women Network. Now I've got to look at my notes to see what I was going to say next. 1 minute, okay. right, let's do this really quickly. Okay, so I don't know if this is an urban myth or if it's true, that men and women looking at a job advert in the paper, men will look at it and if there's 10 things that you need to apply for this job, if a man looks at it and there's two that they can do, they think, yeah, I'm qualified to do this job. And if a woman looks at it and can do 9 of them, she'll think, oh, there's one thing I can't do. I can't apply for this job. I don't know if that's actually true, but I think it's sort of true. So kind of finishing off, what I want to say is please support the women around you in technology. They need it. Women won't always put themselves forward. They aren't always as confident as blokes are. And they need your support. So whether you're a man or a woman, please support the women around you in technology. Thank you.
Thank you. I should have said before I introduced Sue that we're having very quick introductions with each speaker, and then we're going to open it up for more of an interactive debate afterwards and some questions and more participatory session. So that's why everything's a little trimmed down. Also, we've only got a 50-minute session, so we're under the knife. Janet.
Okay, well, my session is about marketing to digital women. Really what I'm hoping to explain is why we need more women actually in the tech space. I've got some figures, first of all. Jupiter recently reported that marketers are missing out on sales worth of about £500 million by not marketing effectively to women. In fact, there are about 40% of the women out there now actually shop online compared to just 30% of men. So we really are doing a fair bit in the space now. If you add to that the fact that 75% of all the wealth in the UK and the USA is with the over 65s, and 65% of the over 65s are women, and this is actually an area that we're going to see growing. So what are we actually seeing happening in the space right now? Well, nearly all women are saying that advertisers just don't understand them, and 36% of those over 35 are saying that they're just feeling totally patronised by what they're seeing. Now, a classic example of this was actually Dell recently, who launched a marketing campaign called Della for the Inspiron Mini 10 notebook. I'm pleased everyone's laughing. I knew you were. I don't have to say anymore, really, do I? They seem to assume that the best way for women to get the most from their laptop would be for them to search for tech tips, which included calorie counting, recipes, and cooking videos. And I don't have to say, but there was a huge outcry from women around here, even, I think, from the women online. So within a few days, they had to actually change the site, and they made the tech tips a bit more technical, and they actually had to make the whole site a lot less pink. They did issue a statement, though, saying, "You spoke, we listened. Thank you for your ongoing feedback." So who has actually successfully marketed to women? Well, Nike, believe it or not, actually started doing this back in the 1990s. They brought in a team from an advertising agency, which was made up almost exclusively of women, and they've been doing that since then. Then it was highly unusual, and even now it still is for a lot of companies. It's amazing, really. So when you now look at the type of campaigns they produce, they have audio, video, community, blog, all the things that women like to see. And their digital director states how Nike aims to inspire women to take control of their own personal development and understand the value of training. It's all about empowerment. So another way of actually including and engaging with women is inclusion. And Apple came out very recently on top of all the companies for women in the digital space. It's a company they like the best because they think it's trustworthy, they think it's reliable, they think it's fun, and obviously Apple do offer great customer support. Just another point about web design is that there's been a lot of research, and it's been said that if you want to design a site for both women, men and women, if you focus on what women want, and that may include details that men are happy to live without, then the overall experience should work for everyone. We've also obviously been told that men like straight lines, women like curves, we all love blue, and women like bright colours. But of course, we all know that's not always the case. Because it does depend very much on a woman's socioeconomic background, on her age, and even the country in which she lives. And all of these impact on what content, design, and colours she'll actually like. So just to move on quickly to Dove, for one campaign, they have 36 different websites for each of the countries that they are targeting. And when it comes to localizing, we're not just talking about translation, we're talking about different content too. So in Denmark, we have, 1 minute, thank you. In Denmark, we have all the women working together. In England, we have the UK's hottest hairstyles. And in France, we have some doctor talking about it. Don't ask me about that one, but it's all the same campaign. The fact is that economically, it makes sense to have more women involved in tech. And the question is how to actually encourage more women in. Now, I'm going to round up by saying that I work for a company at the moment which is 50-50 men and women. It's an e-marketing company. And there are as many women who are in high-level roles as men. But what's interesting about the company itself is that it's based in South Africa. So I did a bit of research just to see if there was a difference over there. And I discovered that almost half of those enrolling on web design courses are women, and about 70% of those enrolling on marketing courses are women, but within the marketing courses, there's often an element of e-marketing. Now, what Quirk, the company I'm with, and other companies do, they make it an absolute priority that they go out regularly to the universities and colleges and teach. So many of the girls who actually work at Quirk were inspired by female Quirk members they'd heard speak at these events. And within a few months, literally a few months of starting at Quirk, they were out inspiring others. So there at least we have one example of role models out in the real world.
Thank you very much. And now for Sue.
Just to get nice and cosy. Right, so I'm Sue Charman-Anderson. I'm a social technology consultant, whatever that means. And I organised the Ada Lovelace Day in March. Now, I just want to ask, how many people heard of or took part in Ada Lovelace Day? Ooh, marvellous. So I'm probably going to tell you lots of stuff you already know then. Okay, so the reason that I decided to do a Lovelace Day, actually the idea itself of doing something to promote women in tech was one that had been rattling around in my head for about a year or so. Originally it was going to be a lovely big one-day conference, and then the global economy crashed, and I thought maybe it wouldn't be a good idea to launch that kind of a venture at this point. And I just sort of stumbled across some research one day by a woman called Penelope Lockwood, who said that women need female role models more than men need male role models. And I thought, you know, if there's one thing that we can do relatively easily, it's to start thinking about and creating new role models in technology for women. Because there's so many women that I knew in tech that didn't seem to be getting the exposure that they need, didn't seem to have the profiles that they need. And this was something that, you know, has just been self-evident at pretty much every tech conference that I've ever been to, where afterwards there's always the discussion about, well, where were the women, you know? And I would find myself sometimes the only woman on the roster of speakers and in a very small minority of women actually in the audience. So the idea was get lots of people talking about women. Let's start to create some of these new role models. And I honestly didn't think that Ada Lovelace Day would take off the way that it did. I mean, for those of you who don't remember this far back, I started the pledge on the 5th of January thinking, oh, I've got kind of till the 24th of March to get 1,000 women. It's never going to happen. That's like 13 women a day. This is just so not going to happen. We got 1,000 people signed up to the Pledge Bank pledge in literally 7 days, which was like, wow, didn't expect that at all. We got 1,980 by the 24th of March. And I think next year, when I'm obviously going to run it again, it's an idea of how big do we make it next year? Am I going to be brave and say 5,000, 10,000? Not quite sure yet. But we ended up, we did a mashup. We had over 1,000 posts that people actually put into the mashup, put into the database. And the communications of how we got the word out there was actually very low key in a sense, in that I mainly just tweeted it. There's @FindingAda. If you're on Twitter and you're not following @FindingAda, that's the place to be. Pledge Bank obviously was the core tool that I used to both collect all the names and get the word out. I actually wasn't on Facebook. I'm not a big fan. But a friend of mine set up a Finding Ada an Ada Lovelace Day page on Facebook. Now, what was really interesting about Facebook versus Twitter and Pledge Bank was that on Facebook, I kept saying to people, you know, you really want you to sign the pledge because the pledge is where we're counting. Because obviously, you don't necessarily know who's if you've got people in both places. I ended up a while back actually sitting down and physically kind of sorting through both lists of names from Pledge Bank and Facebook. And there was something like 2,000 people on Facebook. Only 400 of the people on Facebook actually signed the pledge as well. So we had a lot more people engaged to some level in the day than I thought. But what's kind of really interesting to come out of it was I sort of sat down and got the names of the top 20 women to come up in the collection. Now, obviously, the top name was Ada Lovelace. I think a degree of priming going on there when people are going, oh, what women in tech shall I write about? Oh, Ada Lovelace for Ada Lovelace Day. The next was Rear Admiral Grace Hopper, who basically invented COBOL. As in the programming language, not the Battlestar Galactica planet. Hedy Lamarr came third. She was a hot chick, basically, Hollywood starlet and radio inventor. She invented frequency hopping, which is a kind of integral part of what makes mobile phones work. And then place number four, our first live woman on the list, Barbara Liskov, who won the Turing Award, which is a bit like the Nobel for computing. So I printed out the list and I had a look through. The nice one was at number five came in my mother. And the idea that mothers are passing on not just technical skills, but tech sort of inspiration and love of tech to their daughters, I love. I just think that's brilliant, their daughters and their sons, to the point of which I recently, trying to subvert my niece, bought her an electronics kit for her birthday, and then started a couple of scientists, Marie Curie, dead, Rosalind Franklin, dead, then another live person, Esther Dyson, Kathy Sierra, who's a usability expert, another dead person, Delia Derbyshire, who, I don't know if any of you have heard of her, but she's basically the person who invented Doctor Who, because she did the widdly-woo, widdly-woo music that everybody loves. And then we get a few more live people, but I counted in the top 20 women that we admire, only 9 of them were alive. And I find actually this just slightly worrying, because it means, I mean, it's natural that we look to history, but at the same time, there's a lot of women who are, you know, still have a pulse, who are doing amazing things in tech, and they need to be recognized, as well as all the wonderful dead women that history has given a place to.
And with that in mind, Catherine, your go.
I'll be a bit daring with the tech here and actually move a wire. So, building from what Sue is saying, I work as a consultant in digital media and communications, and I do a lot of training, as well as many other bits and pieces, like I'm sure all of the panel here. So I wanted to take, I was quite shocked at the fact that it was mostly dead women on Ada Lovelace Day, and so I thought this was a great opportunity for us to talk about live women. And so what we're going to do is actually have a brainstorm in here. Now, I'm going to do it in a slightly different way to this morning, and I'm going to split you up into groups. Please, you know, don't be too scared about talking to the person next to you. And I would like to try and sort of self-organize yourself into groups of about 5 to 10 people. Don't move yet. And in what I'd like to start talking about the following areas. Who either inspires you or you admire, or who you work with, because you might actually just be working with an amazingly cool woman. It happens. And I'd like you to think about it across these areas. So technology might be one, just that big, broad subject, or science, again, very broad, or maybe a developer or a programmer, someone who's a fantastic designer or usability person, or someone in the mobile space, perhaps, or in activism, someone who's an amazing tech writer or communicator, as we were talking about in the previous session, someone in social media who's just really, really good at social media and deserves that recognition. Or how about games and gaming? I'm sure there's lots of other areas, but those are just some starters. And what I'll do is, once you've gathered yourself into groups, I'm going to give you some post-it notes. And on each post-it note, I want a name and what area they work in so that we can follow it up. So it's a name and what they do, and you know, if it's in a specific area, that really helps us. And once we've done that, there'll be a second stage. But I will allow you, first of all, to get into groups of about 5 to 10 people, and I will come round and give you pens and post-its. Go.
And just to add to that, when you are making notes about women who you found impressive, it's not because they've got big breasts.
Are we not going to have any questions for the panel?
We're going to do that afterwards.
You want to tell them, because some people might just go.
If anyone would like to ask questions, we will be doing a Q&A very shortly as well.
Okay. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and stop. The next part of this is quite simple. I would like you to take your post-its and go over to this wall and stick them on the walls. Don't do it yet. Hold on, hold on. And then I've got gold stars. Everyone likes gold stars. I do lots of teaching. I bring out my gold stars to like really high CEOs, and they just weep at the fact that they can use gold stars. So what I'd like you to do with the gold stars is actually star your favorites that you see on the wall. So we've got kind of some sort of vague voting. And also, if we see repeats, when we're gonna photograph everything. So when we see repeats, hopefully we're gonna put this all on a website so that you can see what we voted on and what we did. So there we go. So go for putting them on that wall.
Okay, folks, don't dawdle on the sticking. Get sticking with the gold stickers. We're going to open up to the Q&A in a moment, so quick. Okay, folks, grab your seats, please. We shall be. We've got 8 minutes left, so very, very quick end of the session. Thank you, folks. Please take your seats. Thank you. You're welcome to stick some stars on yourself if you have them left over.
Thank you very much for doing that and being willing to get involved and use stars. What we'll do is, whilst after this session, I'll photograph what we did, and also we'll gather all the material so we can see what happened. And we'll either make an announcement later today, or we'll do it on the Ada Lovelace website. Is that right?
Yes.
So thank you. Findingada.com.
I think we've got time for a few quick questions if anyone would like to ask any. Lady at the front.
Since we've done this activity, I'm sure a lot of us struggle to remember names. They can be followed up online. Will we have a wiki or something where we can add more names?
So what I can do is I'll put it up on findingada.com. I'll do a blog post and people can add names in the comments. Don't have a wiki set up just yet, but a blog post should do it.
Any other questions? Down here. Could you speak up a bit and maybe stand up?
Thank you. I have a question for everyone on the panel. What do you think about a recent article in the Arts and Professional, which basically said that the biggest enemy of women in technology is other women in technology?
For anyone that didn't hear that question, it was, is the biggest enemy of other women in technology other women? Anyone like to start on that?
Oh, I think that's a load of bollocks. Okay, I think there is a point that it might actually be women themselves, and then I think actually confidence is a big issue for women, and so I think that's quite hard. But I think that other women thing is just a load of rubbish.
Yeah. I think it's part of a stereotype, isn't it, that women are overly competitive, and I think to be honest, I think that's kind of like a projection, that it's very easy to try and say that there isn't a problem within technology of sexism and discrimination by either blaming the women or just kind of sort of putting your fingers in your ears and not seeing the problem. So that kind of, that way of dealing with it, of talking about it as well, you know, women wouldn't have a problem if they would just, you know, support each other and be nice. To be honest, most of the support that I get and value is from other women within technology, which is not to say men don't support me, but, you know, I have yet to come across the situation where another woman in technology is actively acting against me and against my interests. And I've never heard of anyone actually having that experience. It's bound to happen at some point, in the same way that some men act against other men. I mean, there's just, you know, politics happens and we have to deal with that. But characterizing it as, you know, women would all do so much better if they were just nice to each other is incredibly patronizing.
I want to comment on this really quickly, if you don't mind me just butting in, which is that I think the enemy of women in technology is sexism in technology and within the sector itself. The conference I went to, I was mentioning in San Francisco last year, there was less than five women there. There was no female speakers whatsoever on the panel. And of those five women, I was one of them, and two of the women there were in bikinis handing out fucking flyers for some of the corporate companies that were there. And, you know, this is like 1970s old school sexism, and it's still endemic in technology. And no one was questioning it. All the guys were flirting with the women and saying, well, it's great, you know, I'm going to buy stuff from the company. Well, fuck that shit. You know, I'm a woman and I'm there and I want to see other women who are working within the field and not, you know, using their bodies to sell products, which is just so patronizing and so offensive if you're a woman trying to make it within the field. So that's what we have to challenge, is these old-fashioned attitudes towards women. And just, you know, men have to work alongside women in trying to change this sexism. It's, you know, we've got to change it. Anyone else in the panel like to comment on this, or should we have more questions? Okay, quickly, more questions. Lady at the back of the green.
That's really tricky because sometimes you have to do a bit of both. I'm going to be pragmatic. I've worked in lots of different sectors, including publishing, advertising, where often I've been the a woman and hopefully encouraging other women to kind of do stuff. But often you do have to just get on with the job. And so I wouldn't say it's one or the other. Men have to assimilate more to women and women have to assimilate more. You know, it's creating a culture in business that actually is friendly to everyone, and that's incredibly hard. If you're a manager or a head of a business, creating you're responsible for the culture within your company, and it's very hard to change cultures within companies. So almost you need to be talking to your, trying to help the culture become different, whilst at the same time doing a little bit of assimilation. But I don't think you should do one completely or the other. Does that make sense?
Thanks very much.
No, well, that's rubbish. Really.
I mean, yeah, that begs the question is how can women assimilate at all if, for example, you are one woman in a meeting of 20 men and none of those men will let you finish a sentence? You know, how can you assimilate if you're not being invited to meetings, if you're not part of the conversation? So, I mean, again, you know, this is about victimizing women and saying, well, it's all your fault. You should just, you know, play with the big boys and assimilate. You know, again, bullshit. It's just not like that. There has to be an understanding that this isn't women's problem. This is everybody's problem because, you know, single-sex teams of either type have a tendency towards unhealthy dysfunction and poor interpersonal relationships. And that's as much a problem for men as it is a problem for women. It's not just about women saying, oh, you know, we want to be equal. It's actually about, look, you know, you're missing out by ignoring what women have to offer. You're missing out on a different point of view. You're missing out on better, healthier relationships within your business. And you're missing out on a massive tranche of talent that's sitting there kind of like going, well, you know, if you're not going to help me engage, then how am I supposed to, you know, tell you and be a part of the team and be active and be talented.
We've got time for a couple of very quick questions. So I think the lady at the front had her hand up for a while.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, you know, it's mainly men who are here today without a contractual session. What can we do to make them interested in this conversation?
Well, I was going to say we should all stand here with our bras and show our tits, but I thought that might not be taken as ironically as I meant it. Anyone like to comment?
Well, I think one of the things that we've been trying to do here and I've tried to do at other events as well is to try and get a bit practical and just kind of say, you know, well, what really is going on here and what can we do about it and how can we take actions to move things along? Because I've seen a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth and lots of existential discussion about, you know, why. And yet it's actually really complicated. We have this huge sort of culture going back hundreds, thousands of years that, you know, we are embedded in that isn't going to change overnight. But there are positive things, small actions that we can do. Being aware of the women that you work with, you know, talking about the women that you admire, those sorts of actions that anyone can take that make the problem kind of, you know, of a size that we can actually cope with and deal with. You know, when you start looking at, well, you know, sexism is endemic, it's rife, it's this, it's that, it kind of distances the problem and makes it something where it's off-putting and alienating. Whereas, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do here by having this kind of little brainstorm in that, say, actually, this is a problem we can get our teeth into. There are small but valuable things that we can do and everybody can do. It's not just about
having a good moan about, oh, you know, life is so hard. It's about saying, okay, this is an issue. Let's do some concrete things to start to deal with it.
I'd also just like to give the opposing kind of view of primary school teaching, where actually, you know, most people are women. So there are, you know, other industries where it's the complete opposite problem, where there's too many women and not enough men involved, and it would be great to have more men actually in primary schools, because that's quite, you know, there's no role, we've got fewer men as role models in that environment. So it's not just that this is a tech problem, it's kind of, it goes in different ways. And it is about having role models that children can look up to and go, oh, that's a cool thing to do. And that can be male or female. It's just making sure that there's positive messages going out, rather than, I'm not normally someone who talks about women in technology. I have avoided talking about it and just try to get on with the job. But it has got so bad over the last year that I actually, that's why I'm here. Because I've been at events where we've had 50-50 audience, but mostly men on the stage. And it's actually been an audience of peers, not an audience of people who don't know and people who know, but an audience of peers. And so that's why that's why I think this conversation is very important. It's just to raise people's profile. It's just a really simple thing like that.
And just to add to that, which is just that everyone here is a geek, I'm assuming, and has some way of getting their message out there, whether it's Twitter or a blog or coding or however you're going to do it. If you are ever at a conference and you see just male panelists, it would be great if all of you just go out to the organizer and say, where are the women speakers? Or, you know, if you are at some event and the same thing happens, it's really not a big deal. But the more people that just say that little thing, that one comment, that will get things changing. And it shouldn't be that there are all women sitting up here saying, where are the women speakers? It should be that everyone is questioning it, because we have something to say, and it enriches the whole experience for all of us as people who work within tech or don't. We are actually on the break, but please go. Just to let people know, we're continuing very quickly through the break.
Okay, what I was going to say was, why don't we run this again next year and have half men and half women on the panel? And call it something different. maybe get Bill T and Ben Goldacre on the panel next year, because they can draw a crowd of blokes.
And notice as well, we're all white as well. So it's not just an issue of gender. There's also issues of cultures and minorities and all sorts of other things. So that's,
Yes, okay. So thank you, everyone. We do have one very quick announcement from Sue.
Right, so Finding Ada is an ongoing project, and I want to announce the next event, which is a trip to Bletchley Park, which Sue has been helping me organise, on the 26th of July to find out more about the women who worked at Bletchley Park. We have some very exciting things lined up for anybody who wants to come. It's £19, 26th of July. More information on findingada.com or womenofbletchleypark.eventbrite.com. Men are, of course, allowed to come. Everybody can come. It's going to be an incredibly cool day, and I hope we will see you all there.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Catherine, Janet, Sue, and Sue.